meet him among the Gentiles, I did not confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. I did not know Jesus Christ in flesh and blood, physically, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. I did not even know the followers of Jesus Christ. I did not know Jesus Christ, I did not know the followers of Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ himself told me, on my way to Damascus, I saw a vision, and he said, Paul, why dost thou persecute me? And since then, I am receiving everything from Jesus Christ. Then after 3 years, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia, and again I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas, and remained with him 15 days, but I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Then after 14 years, I went to Jerusalem. O foolish Galatians, what has bewitched you? 1 minute more. You see, he says, he's the self-appointed apostle of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. And the Gospel of St. Matthew very clearly says, chapter 10, line 5. These 12 apostles Jesus sent out, charging them, go nowhere among the Gentiles. Jesus is clear, don't go to the Gentiles. And he says, I was selected that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Not knowing Jesus Christ, I am still appointed by Jesus Christ to go to preach to Jesus Christ against his teachings. Then, law. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. And he said, Jesus said, I have come, think not that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. Sharia or Anbiya. I have come not to abolish them but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so. The Jews were forbidden the use of pork, swine. But he made it. But Jesus also was circumcised himself. But circumcision is wrong. Eat anything that you want. There is no law. And whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. So Paul should be the least in the kingdom of heaven. But he who does them and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now you see, St. Paul is turning the tables against Jesus Christ, and he is the founder of Christianity. So I think, who is King James? The fact is that the third aspect of it is the church. And most of the kind of beliefs that have been formulated in Christianity have nothing to do with the person of Jesus Christ. In fact, at the earlier stage, after the departure of Jesus Christ from the scene, the problem was that this whole question of the Son of God, what does it mean? In what respect is the word Son of God applicable to the person of Jesus Christ? The word Son of God, and Jesus never made that kind of claim that he's God. In fact, he's been praying, Lord, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's not saying my will. But they start making Jesus into God. Now what was happening is that who is going to organize the church on behalf of Jesus Christ? And it is this whole question of that the church is the body of Christ. In fact, the phrase also was the bride of Christ. And Saint Peter, who is believed to be the person who has the key to heaven, to the heavens, I mean, he has been invested with the key, and he is going to build up the church. On this rock I shall build up church. And now, the idea, how this creed, what is the belief about the person of Jesus Christ, that became a subject matter of discussion and controversy amongst Christian bishops. Arius, who was in the 4th century, Arius, who was himself a bishop, did not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And therefore he was opposing this idea. But Athanasius, when Constantine came into power, he invited these conflicting bishops at the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD to thresh out the matter. And there, Arius was on his maintaining his point of view, and then subsequently there is a Eusebius of Nicomedia and Eusebius of Caesarea who were along with Arius. but with a certain kind of majority vote, they try to make a certain kind of a compromise. Jesus is not of the same substance as God, but Jesus is of a similar substance. The Greek phrase, in fact, Gibbon speaks of a single vowel, homoousion and homoousion. I mean, he is of the same substance or of a similar substance. So he's of a similar substance. Then the starts thinking whether Jesus is has the same nature of, as that of God. And here the problem was that the bishop, in fact, Nestorius, who was the patriarch of Constantinople, started saying that it is wrong to call the Virgin Mary the mother of God, because the Virgin Mary bore Jesus as a man and not as God. So Virgin Mary is not the mother of God. And that became a subject of discussion. And in order to resolve it, it is at the Council of Chalcedon in 451 AD that the definition of what is called Christianity today was arrived at. Until 451 AD, it was not clear to the Christians that Jesus is at one and the same time both God and man. And it is at this Council of Chalcedon in 451 AD, in order to define the nature of Jesus Christ, they said Jesus has the nature of both God and man at one and the same time, and the two natures are indivisible. And that is the kind of belief they maintain from that day onwards, so that worship can be addressed directly to Jesus Christ also. Jesus Christ is out of the scene. 451 years have elapsed. They are not teaching what Jesus taught. They are teaching what the Council of Chalcedon taught. So I don't believe in the Council of Chalcedon. I believe in the Council, in what Jesus taught. Now, you see, the whole question was whether Jesus is God or not. Yes, he is God, but being God, he does not cease to be man. There were some people who said, no, he is man and not God. There were some people saying, he is God and not man. Who was crucified? God? And when, if he was God and he was crucified, he was 3 days in the tomb, where was, how the world was running? God is dead. That's exactly what Nietzsche said. These ideas of the desire to find a Superman is not accidental. Nietzsche said, your God is dead. We need Superman, not the man God. And you know, America is full of Supermen now.
With the crucifixion, there's a question about, was anyone really crucified? And it's not that Jesus died in India. Relating to this crucifixion that you're talking about.
Yes, I'll but allow me to select the
3 minutes.
All right. So, agreed. What I was trying to say is, the King James, when the popes started working on behalf of Jesus Christ, and then earlier there was a kind of a conflict amongst the popes and the emperors. The whole question was, who is going to install a bishop or a pope? I mean, whether the pope has authority to confirm the bishop, or the king or the emperor has authority. And that fight went on. And the popes continued to abuse in different forms. I mean, if you only knew that it is Pope Urban II who preached the Crusades, Pope Alexander VI who made these people say, let the world be divided. East of this longitude, the Portuguese would go and rob the whole of the world. Yes, it's a fact. It is called the Treaty of Tordesillas. In 1492, Granada had fallen in Spain. And 1494 is the date when Pope decided that the whole world must now be open to the Christians. And the Pope Alexander VI is a very interesting figure. He is the father of Caesar Borgia and Alexandra Borgia. And Caesar Borgia is the model for Machiavelli's prince, who should, for the sake of the state, do anything which is evil and wrong. This is the kind of thing that go and rob all the world, the east of this longitude, the Portuguese, west of this longitude, the Spanish. So that America, and Columbus trying to find out the route to India, discovered America, etc., etc. And then when the Portuguese and Spanish had come forward, then of course the French and the British and the Dutch, they followed suit. Now, when the fight continued, and when Protestantism came, because popes were abusing their authority, and Luther started, even earlier there were a number of kind of tensions trying to do away with. they would not allow the Bible to be translated, to be published and to be handed over to the people, to the Christians. In fact, William Tyndale was burned at the stake for translating the Bible. It's a fact. But the Protestant movement against the Pope was going on. And it was in the time of Henry VIII. And they said, I was here. And the Catholics and Protestants will be fighting. How were you? What kind of religion is this? You made a new religion. Why? Because Henry VIII wanted to divorce his wife, Catherine of Aragon, and marry, I forget the name, sorry, beautiful woman of the time, just now, marry another woman. And therefore he wanted divorce, and the Pope would not submit to this idea, because he was under the influence of the emperor, the Spanish emperor. So he would not allow it. And then this king made a new religion. And the question was, now the king will appoint the bishops and not the Pope. And when the king started, how will he get the money? He dissolved all the monasteries. The money was forthcoming. And he built up his own kind of economy. And after king, now the question of Catholics and Protestants became important in England. And it's in the question of succession to the kings which is important, because King Henry VIII, the name of the other lady was Queen Anne Boleyn. And Elizabeth was the daughter of Queen Anne Boleyn, Elizabeth I. And Catherine, Mary, was the elder daughter, the daughter of Catherine of Aragon. So when Henry VIII died, Mary came to power. And when Mary came to power, she was a Catholic. And she undid everything that Henry VIII had done. All the bishops were removed from their places, the Catholic bishops were brought about, and the Protestants dismissed. And I mean, as soon as Mary was dead and Queen Elizabeth came, again a reversal. And this continued for quite some time. And when, because Elizabeth did not have an immediate successor, she did not get married. So King James was imported from Scotland to become the king, of course he had done his dynastic connections, to become the king of England also. So he is King James the 6th of Scotland, King James the 1st of England. And as such, he had now to give a certain kind of consolidation to the conflict that was taking place in religion. So he invited some bishops to authorize the translation of the Bible, and Tyndale and Coverdale and others, numerous Bibles in this period of conflict were actually being published. So an authorized version comes from 1611. And this is, so he didn't have the right to impose the Bible on Christians. He was, and this is again an important aspect of it. I talked about earlier about the Septuagint, the Greek version of the Old Testament. And that became the origin, the source of the translation, through Erasmus of the present Bible. Jesus did not die in India. This is wrong. Who was? I didn't see it. I can't read it.
Who was actually crucified on the cross?
No one was ever. See, nobody knows who was crucified at the cross. The Quran says, "Walakin shubbiha lahum." Nobody was knows. But it's interesting. There were certain bishops who did not believe in the actual crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and I have got their names, and we'll talk about it at some other time, because I must keep my mouth shut.
We don't have any time for any more questions, but inshallah we have an open period, so any of you brothers who have some time, feel free to come up to the brother here and ask any questions personally. Without any conclusion remarks?
I think it's something to say.
Inshallah, I keep coming up and present your questions. So inshallah, we'll conclude here.
We need everybody to know that this subject or this topic, even when the lecture was planned, everybody knew that it was impossible to be covered in 2 hours only. But at least the hope that we're we're hoping that we'll get out of this, is that everyone listening would feel how serious it is and how important it is to really know more. Now, another thing is that maybe if we have a Christian listen, or some Christians listen to this lecture tonight or today, maybe many of them will not understand what the professor is talking about. Many of them may not appreciate the seriousness of the subject here, because that's the standard that they have been taught, to accept all those things. Now, when somebody is raised all his life learning that prophets commit incest or fornication, or a prophet falls in love with his neighbor's wife, so he plots to kill him, to have him killed, and then marry his wife, or that's completely okay, even though the society is not allowed to do that. That's considered criminal activity or whatever it is, but prophets it's okay to do. Such a double standard, the human mind may be subjected to accept and feel is okay. But alhamdulillah, those of us who had learned Islam and have understood the concept of nubuwa, prophethood, wahi, revelation, and uluhiyya, God, who is God, the definition of a God, definition of a prophet, once these definitions are explained to us and we get the right understanding, and that's when we become homogeneous with the rest of the universe, understanding submission and Islam. Then now when we listen to our esteemed professor, he's talking about this and bringing it in front of us, I hear the brothers, I don't know, maybe the sisters also, reacting with some of the statements here, maybe sometimes laughing, sometimes shocked, sometimes, why? Maybe some of our brothers or sisters who had been raised with these concepts previously, a few years ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago, you may not have reacted the same way. But after being exposed to the nur and the light of Islam, as the professor had read earlier, with those verses of Quran, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ نُورًا مُبِينًا, clear light. Now we see this reaction. So alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this light and for this understanding. And we hope that what our esteemed professor did today is give us a taste of how serious it is that so many people historically, hundreds of millions, actually billions, had deviated for no reason. And how of a great responsibility upon us, those who had seen both sides, that we need to make it available to others. Of course, we need to be careful, because they may not see the point easily. What we see now, after a few lectures and khutbas and classes or conversations, we could see this. They have not gone through that, so we need to understand how delicate we need to deal with them. The professor is available, inshallah, for those who want to ask more questions. And there's so many questions that could not be asked because of the restraint of the time. And I could see that every time a question is asked, he finds himself forced to give an introduction before he answers the question. And this is natural, because the subject is not that easy. So you could maybe attack him. Okay, but he would be coming back, inshallah, tomorrow with another lecture. Jazakumullah khair.